So Saul got this group of soldiers, and God wanted him to utterly destroy this nation, its ferocious, plundering, merciless culture of murder and wickedness. These Amalekites were the first nation to attack Israel when they came out of Egypt. As we saw this morning, they struck the rear, they murdered the weak, the frail, the old, who were at the straggling at the end of the line. And they did so with desire. They preyed upon the helpless, and God exposed them for what they were. Now we would say, oh, the poor, you know, children and everything. But you let those children grow. They would have been just as mercilessly bloodthirsty as their parents, because they had inherited from their father and from their forefather, Adam, the sinfulness that we all have. But the critical lesson for us is only the Spirit can defeat sin. And just as only God could cause Amalek to be defeated in battle, as Joshua and as Saul found out, the lesson we're looking at tonight is the same is true for the Amalek within all of us. You see, Amalek is just a picture of the rapacious horror of sin that lives within us, even after we're saved, that is in our flesh. Because in my flesh there dwells no good thing. And so I have to be at war against my flesh. We win daily battles with the temptations of our flesh only by walking in the Spirit. When we go our own way, we will face Amalek, our flesh, all alone. And we'll lose. Haven't you found that out? It's the common experience we all have. The arm of the flesh will always fail us. When we try and beat flesh with flesh, we always lose. And we fall into sin, whatever form it takes in our life. As Paul said, the defeat of our flesh comes only through the victory Christ has already won on the cross. And it's brought to us step by step as we walk in the truth of the Spirit of God's power. And God's Word clearly warns us that we don't conquer our flesh by physical means. Asceticism, you know, that kind of ascetic lifestyle that the monastic types did, where they would refuse themselves, like Martin Luther, sleep on the floor with no blanket, eat only bread and water. That did not lessen his or our, if we try it, sinfulness. Asceticism doesn't do it. Neither does religious activity. Some of the most religiously active people in the world are those who have taken their vows to the church, and they don't get married, and they marry the church, and they spend their lives, and their endless activities has not prevented them, as we read in our newspaper, from being driven by lust and fulfilling those lusts. So religious activity, ours or theirs, doesn't do it. Our human effort, I've told you many times, I grew up, my parents working in the rescue mission, and every one of those drunks turned over a new leaf every day and went right back. Human effort can't stop the flesh. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit that God reminds us. So, as Paul says in Galatians, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh, Galatians 5:17. These are contrary to one another. There's a war going on. And that war, that's hard for us to understand, is by God laid out for us in a beautiful graphic picture with this story of Amalek. 1,000 years, and there's still future. We'll see. He's coming back. Well, flesh can't defeat flesh. Resolves, promises, fighting, striving in our own power only leads to further defeats. It's only by yielding to the power of the cross. Now turn back to Deuteronomy 25 and verse 17. Just want to show you one quick verse there. God commanded Saul to destroy his enemies completely. That is what we're commanded to do through Christ to our own flesh. Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 and 19. This is the reminder that Amalek was Israel's foe. Deuteronomy 25, 17. Remember what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. This is Moses at the end of his life, after the 40 years of wandering, after he's brought them up to the promised land, as they're facing that promised land, he's giving them the wonderful rehearsal of what God has done and what they're to do. Verse 18, how he met you along the way, how he tacked among you all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary, and he did not fear God. See, God is analyzing the hearts of those people that he wanted destroyed. Therefore it shall come about when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your surrounding enemies in the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You must not forget. Let me give you a little aside here. In the book of Deuteronomy, not only is this in there, but there's also a little section that talks about someday you're going to have a king. And Moses said, someday you're going to have a king. And when you have a king, your king is responsible to, by his own hand, copy the 5 books of Moses. He's supposed to write out his own copy. He's supposed to go to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. He's supposed to get the scrolls. He's supposed to bring those scrolls out, put them on a table, and hand write the law of God. You know what? That would take a long time. You ever written your verses out in Awana or in school when you're in Bible college or whatever? It takes a long time to write the Bible. You're kind of looking and you're going like this and the words are different. Can you imagine doing Hebrew, which is kind of a little bit like calligraphy and it's backward, and doing it with something you have to mix up a powder and make ink and you have to get some kind of a writing instrument and you're doing all that? Can you imagine how long that busy king would take? I calculated once. It would take almost, with all the prep time and getting the skin ready and drying and blotting and mixing and unrolling and getting and looking back and forth, it would take almost a full year of work. 2,000 hours. What a waste, right? Wouldn't we say? I mean, can you imagine George Bush copying the Encyclopedia Britannica? We'd say, what a waste. He should be presiding as president. But what the king was supposed to come across is this verse I just read. Look again what it says. You, therefore, when you get into the land, verse 19, which the Lord your God gives you, and you finally have the inheritance possessed, your first duty after you get that land settled, when you are established and you are the king, you must blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.